meeting is now being recorded.
All right. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Sub-Team Track 2 Legal Regulatory Issue Call held on the 20th of October, 2016. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect Room only. If you're only on the audio bridge, please let yourself be known now. All right, and as a reminder, please state your name before speaking for recording purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn the call back over to Michael Fleming.
Good morning, good evening, and once again, good afternoon to everyone. Thank you very much for joining us this lovely week before. Second week, I believe. We still have two more weeks before I Hyderabad. But thank you very much for joining us. We have some very exciting topics for everyone today. So, first of all, well, we always have our normal welcome and are taking care of any administrative issues. For anyone that has an updated SOI, please... if you'd like to, please share that now or drop it in the chat and it will be noted. Also, this time we will be looking at, we're just going to touch up on the base agreement very quickly. I'm just going to share some news about what I've been doing in this week, this past 2 weeks actually. That's something that's going to probably, I hope, help us and give us some feedback from a lot of the parties involved. And then we're going to look at the ICANN 57 teaser questions see what other areas we might be able to look at while we're in Hyderabad. And then I'm going to give it over to Phil for reserved names. I want to give him plenty of time to talk about this, so I'm just going to kind of maybe speed through the first four areas, and then we'll have, if there's any other business, please go ahead and make note now. Anyone have any other business that they would like to talk about today? Hearing none, I will take that as consensus for that we don't have any other business. I might have had some any other business. Yes, there was the aspect of talking about tools for the group. But at the same time, I believe that there's been some discussion among the staff as well as the co-chairs for how we'd like to start utilizing communication through all the groups. A lot of what we do is probably modeled on the work track one approach. Props to all to Sarah and Krista from Work Track 1 for the amazing job they've been doing. So I'm going to go ahead and move forward now. So for the base agreement and basically reaching out, this past 2 weeks, in the last call we talked about reaching out to the relative groups that are looking to perhaps have their own category-based agreement. So, for example, I reached out to the BRG, the Brand Registry Group, for what justification or reasoning they could provide to this working track in order for us to get some discussion or get something to kind of move our own discussion along. And then I've also reached out to Sebastian Ducos from the GOTLDs, and he said that he has spoken with his group and that they are starting to formulate their own opinion. So both the GOTLDs and the BRG are looking to give us some information. I just need to get a deadline for when they can give that feedback. and as soon as we receive that feedback, I would like to come back to this topic. But before that, I'd also like to ask, what other groups should we be reaching out to? I know that we had a little bit of response in regards to this question for the, and please, forgive me if I'm not saying this correctly, but the verification group of TLDs. My apologies. I know it's a recently formed one, so I'm not aware of the correct naming. Jeff is kind of is typing here, probably need to try to help me out. VLD, Validated Top-Level Domains. My apologies. I'd like to reach out to them as well. Does anyone know anyone that might be, perhaps participating in this working group, or is somebody that we can reach out to? Gigi Levine. Thank you very much. If you don't mind, would it be possible for me to kind of take this offline with you, and so we can kind of discuss about what we're looking for specifically later on? Oh, thank you. all right, I will definitely do that then. Okay, thank you for putting that in. Yeah.
Michael, it's Phil here.
Oh, go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, I was,
go ahead, Phil.
I'm thinking this group, does this involve the dot bank? Do we have a list of TLDs that are in this validation group? Does anybody know? I assume it's something like a partially closed TLD. That's the classification of it, right?
According to Jeff, it appears that we do have one. According to Jeff, .bank is in the group. .pharmacy, .ngo, .omg. I'm sure there is a list. Jeff looks like Jeff's putting all of them down for us. But I'm sure that there is a list, and it'll do us good to probably share that with the overall group, but at the current time, I don't think we have one right now. Oh, Jeff has them all memorized, and so let's look at that list. Try to get a list, of course, and I don't know if we need to look at the whole list. Obviously, I mean, there could be a lot of members. I mean, VSG themselves have 70, and I'm not sure if looking at all of them is necessary, but I believe that there's enough of them to narrow it to us to start formulating our own discussion on their feedback. And I think that's the main point in this case.
Yeah, so basically, Michael, they have something in common, clearly. Right?
They have something in common, so it's so it's basically, it allows us to receive feedback that we can start formulating our discussion and moving it forward.
So, Alexander's put on their .gay.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Michael. It's Phil for the record. Alexander's put on their .gay, so I would have thought that obviously .gay was a community application as well, so we need to reach out to the community applicants as well, as a separate category. Okay, it's not been delegated yet, but...
If there's a group, or if there is a large, what appears to be some formation of a group where we can reach out to those parties...
Yeah.
Then I would be more than
Steve,
happy to reach out. CTAG, I like to call it CTAG, but applicant group. That's a good point. Just one quick question, and if this is a question to consider, but does everyone agree that we should fully consider the feedback of applicants as well as already delegated TLDs? I would have of course assumed that, you know, applicants would be ones that we definitely receive feedback from as well. But at the same time, noting that already delegated registries is in some ways what many people might prefer, but I think we should consider applicants as well. So I have no problem looking at the seat bag. Yes.
Yeah, I
consider feedback from everyone. So let's go ahead and reach out to CTAG as well. Staff, could we put that as an action item in the notes? I will take this offline with try to get out to the CC to the CTAG as well as reaching out to Gigi Levine. And then we will try to move forward. Are there any other groups or representatives that we might be able to reach out to? Hearing none, we can go ahead and make this a continued discussion about who we should reach out to at a later time.
This
but in the interest
coming?
Of time... I'm sorry. Hello?
Hi.
Kurt, please go ahead.
I'm on my phone, so I can't raise my hand. Yeah, so I hope when we reach out, we ask, what the accommodation in the agreement or why a separate agreement is necessary with some specificity. Because there's a lot of ways to skin a cat. A community or an entity or a group like a trademark group needs some accommodations in the agreement. There's ways of going addressing all the needs of all these individuals and all these communities without creating many, many types of agreements. So when we reach out, we should ask them to be what kind of accommodation they're seeking. So when we have the discussion, we can talk about, different ways from a high point of view, from like an umbrella standpoint, where we can address, where we can craft an agreement that accommodates everybody's needs and, complies with all the ICANN policies to boot.
Thank you, Kurt. It seems that you may have been a little hard of hearing, so I'm going to try to summarize what you said, and please correct me if I'm wrong. But basically, you said that we need to be as specific as possible when we reach out to these groups for their particular accommodations, to seek feedback that would basically show whether exactly they need a specific agreement or that they need specific accommodations from the current agreement as it is today. Would that be correct, or? Pretty close. Okay. So I can kind of answer that. At the current time, exactly, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm explaining what the argument, the single versus the category. And then we're asking for justification. I know we can talk about what kind of words, justification, reasoning, but at the same time, I think at the end of the day that it's in the similar area. So we're looking at justification. And a lot of them, everyone understands at this point, that doesn't fully mean that we need a fully separate agreement, or it could mean, specific accommodations from the current agreement, or, different amendments per se. So a lot of the groups and I'm already reaching out to are already understanding of that, that is being fully considered, and when we do get that feedback, it should be specific, and it should be able to allow us to at least begin our discussion. So I'm making sure to be clear on that regard. And, at that point, I think we're headed in the right direction. So thank you very much for that feedback. I'm going to try to move forward now. I don't want to take up all the time. I want to give Phil some time to have his fun as well. And so I'm going to go ahead and move forward. If there is any, if there are any other groups, please send an email to the group list. I can perhaps get a discussion or a mailing thread going on, you know, which groups we'll be reaching out to. I think that would be very beneficial, perhaps. And then we just go ahead and send a response from that so we can get everything written down. So, okay, let's move on to ICANN57 teaser question. I hope everyone's excited for the questions. So this time we're looking, so for ICANN57, we're going to have some teaser questions on kind of what topics we've already been talking up until this point. first of all, our first question, I'm not sure if everyone is with me, but I'm currently on the fourth page of the slides. So our first question deals with the single agreement base category agreement issue. I'm just going to go ahead and read it as is. One, is a single agreement still suitable for the needs of subsequent procedures? Noting that the 2012 round saw the introduction of TLDs with needs that differ from the standard ICANN model, the idea of different agreements suited to a specific category has seen increasing demand. Do we need to consider allowing for category disagreements, and what is the justification for such? If yes, in what ways we consider a category-based agreement, or how should the single-based agreement address the various needs of different categories? Our second question is going to be dealing with reserved names. And, of course, we're just starting our discussion on reserved names today, but I am hoping that this question will capture the overall and wholehearted area of the reserved names. So for reserved names, what is a reserved name, and what are the reserved names per ER to the registry agreement? Do any changes need to be made to the reserved names to reflect the changes in recent processes that allow for the release of such reserved names? So in regards to this, we're going to obviously start looking at it, Dave, but more specifically, you know, the questions we're looking at is, What is the reserve name in the aspect of just one moment, I had specific notes on this, but yes, what is a reserve name? And first of all, what is a reserve name based on policy? We need to look at the current policy as it is and see how the reserve names came out after policy, and a lot of what we'll probably see is a lot of it was not in policy. And then we need to look at how a reserve name is valid. There's obviously a technical standpoint, there's geographical naming rules, a lot to consider. I'm going to let Phil take the head in regards to this, though. So I'm just,
thank you, Michael.
I'm just going to briefly move on. I just kind of wanted to be to make sure everyone knows that we'll try to be as specific as possible in regards to those. So yes, an example to Alexander's question, this is both. There are obviously a lot of names on a top level perspective that you're not allowed to apply for, and we will also be considering the ones on the second level for that need to be reserved. So I'm just like, my apologies, I'm going to keep moving forward. So our third question is going to be in regards to COIs, and I'm sure everyone loves COIs. So question number three. In the 2012 round, a continuing operations instrument was required to be submitted in the form of a letter of credit to fund an emergency back-end registry operator. That requirement provided to be difficult for a number of registries to meet. What other options are there to fund the emergency back-end registry operator functions? Also, some registries, such as brand TLDs, consider that a continuing operations instrument is not required due to the nature of their TLD. this spans into the background of emergency back-in registry operator requirements as well, but what would the continuing operations instrument be required for? But would the COI be required for TLDs that qualify for an exemption to the Code of Conduct for the RA? This kind of takes into the idea that, you know, the Specification 13, as well as there are some that cannot qualify fully for the Specification 13, but rather go for the exemption to the Code of Conduct. So, in this sense, we're trying to capture both of those. And there seems to be a lot of chat discussion going on. Hold on just a second. I'm not seeing everything. Phil, are you seeing the chat at all, or what's going on?
Yeah, I'm just trying to catch on with it as well here.
Jeff, please, if you'd like to kind of summarize here. I'm sorry, I'm not.
Yeah, I mean.
On the completely, but go ahead, please. Jeff, you have the floor. Jeff, if you are mute, we cannot hear you. Jeff? Okay, I'm not able to hear Jeff. Susan, would you like to go ahead?
Yeah, thanks. It's just a quick sort of preliminary question, really. I don't have any particular objection to any of those questions. They all seem like good questions to be teaser topics. But they all seem to somewhat overlap with what other work tracks in this PDP might also be considering. So I just wanted to query whether to what extent there's coordination between you and the other work tracks to in relation to the questions that are being asked. And also, I'm afraid I may have missed an explanation of this, but what are we intending to do with these teaser questions? Would you be able to explain? Because I'm sorry if I've missed it.
Thank you very much, Susan. That is an excellent question. So first of all, a lot of the other working tracks at the current time are looking at probably similar natures. But they don't, and I know a lot of them will overlap in some ways, but ours, of course, you know, is from the legal and the regulatory perspective of, and that's why I believe these questions are a bit more formulated towards that area. But on the other hand, these questions are obviously not to, you know, provide any final conclusions, but at the same time, this is an opportunity to solicit community feedback, especially get a lot of input from people who are not directly involved as members, and kind of to encourage further participation from the overall community. So I think at this point, you know, it just getting kind of a bit of feedback from the overall community, the overall participants in the ICANN room, and you know how it is, you know, when you go into the ICANN room and everyone's watching us at the round table, it's a lot of fun, and everyone starts to want to talk when you talk about the kind of the high heated debates like this, or the kind of controversial questions. So the more controversial discussion we can make, the more feedback we can get. So that's why I'm just having that opportunity to get that feedback from everyone will allow us to formulate our own discussion in a more constructive way. So I am, if there is no other feedback, Jeff, you said you were going to call in.
Michael, it's Phil here. Yeah, can I just follow up to Susan's point, is that these teaser questions, I think we're trying to get some feedback from, to be honest with you, I was involved with applicants and we had lots of problems with the COI. I know you did, Michael, as well, with your clients. The applicants. So we're trying to get if we can get as much feedback as possible from other consultants, say, that had problems with this issue, then, you know, then it'd be much more easier to address it. So that's why we're kind of lobbing it out there in 57 to see what reaction we get to it. Because me personally as a consultant on this particular COI question, it was a nightmare for us. So we need to change it. We need to resolve it. Anybody else that's had similar experiences in round one with this COI, the question 50?
Let's not get into specific discussion in regards to the COI at this point. Let's merely figure more specific or more descriptive ways we could add to the question.
Yeah, sure.
Let's
sure,
save
Michael.
The COI feedback for ICANN 57. But there was some feedback, you know, we could add to the COI questions whether the COI is still required. Seems, let's see, there's a lot. Yes, I can welcome the COI. That's a discussion I'm excited to have at a later date. But let's move forward. Let's move forward definitely at this point. I hope if anyone has any feedback, more feedback in regards to the questions, please feel free to reach out to the overall working track. I'll be happy to continue this discussion later on. So, Phil, I'm going to turn it over to you for reserved names. Everyone, please give a big warm welcome to Phil Buckingham as he takes on the reserved names issue. Okay. All right.
Thanks
Phil,
so much.
Over to you. Thank you, Cheryl.
Oh, hi, everybody. I think I've started to get my head around this, and it's an incredibly complicated subject. So I'm going to kind of lob it out there. There was a working group that was started called the Reserved, well, it's, I think it's completed its work, called the Reserved Named Working Group. And was anybody that's on this call, were they on that working group? Because I think we'd love to know, so we can get some feedback. Was anybody on it? No? Nobody? Okay. Steve Chan.
Jeff
has
his
yep. Hello?
Jeff has his
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Jeff.
Go ahead.
Hey, this is Jeff Newman. Yeah, there was a reserve names working group that was in 2006. I was on that long time ago. I think that's the one we're talking about. That's the reserve name group that ultimately came up with the decision, essentially, that there are relatively few, if no, names that need to be reserved at the top level.
Right.
Or at the second level.
Yeah, because Jeff, I was going to I've asked Steve ICANN to put up the section from the final issues report. So as a point, it's 4.31. It's on page 59, and if we could start working our way through it, it kind of gives you a bit of a background where we're at. That's my rationale for starting it off basically. Here we go. Right, so if we scroll down a bit, there's 4.314, and it says, have we got that? Yeah,
well, it's individually controlled, so everyone's going to have to...
Yeah, I'm putting it down myself here. Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Well, anyway, it doesn't seem to be there. So basically it says, rationale for policy development. If a potential PDP working group on new GTLD subsequent procedures recommends that material changes are needed to recommendation 5 or the composition of the reserve names list as noted in spec 5 of the base agreement and its usage within the program, policy development is likely needed. So that's what we've got to think all the steps through. Now, basically, I work back to 4.31 here, and I guess I'll read it out so we can read it out together slowly where we're at here. So, yeah, so explanation of the subject. In support of the PDP on the introduction of new GTLDs, the GNSR Council created the Reserve Name Working Group, which was tasked with developing recommendations regarding the role and treatment of reserve domain names. First and second level. I think it's third level issues as well, but as I said, it's incredibly complicated. The RNWG worked to develop a set of reserve names, definitions that would apply at the top level, yep, at the second level regarding contractual conditions, and at the third level as contractual conditions were applicable. The RNWG reviewed, considered, and integrated recommendations found in the GAC principles regarding new GTLDs, and the IDN Working Group final report, eventually developing a set of final recommendations available to the group's final report published May 2007. So it's 9 years old. This report was reviewed and the recommendations were updated at ICANN 29 in Puerto Rico, in particular affecting recommendations relating to IDN. These recommendations are integrated into the PDP on the introduction of new GTLDs, where they can be found in final report under Terms of Reference, Selection Criteria, Section 4, regarding Recommendation 5. Recommendation 5 states very simply, strings must not be a reserved word. Oh, wow. The 2007 final report provides the specific TLD top-level, second-level, and third-level string restrictions. The implementation of Recommendation 5 was not missed. A list of strings that applicants were prevented from applying for and instead were integrated into a number of elements regarding the string reviews described in the applicant guidebook. For instance, while there was a list of top-level reserved names in section 22121 of the applicant guidebook, the RN Working Group recommendations also guided the development of the technical string requirements in section 22132, of the applicant guidebook on string composition for ASCII and IDN strings, as well as geographic names requirements in section 22142 of the applicant guidebook. Wow. So I pulled up, and I don't know if I can, Steve, you've pulled it up, but I pulled up this the RNWG here myself, if I can see it. And it basically lists out all the different types of reserve names, which we clearly need to work through to try and understand what's going on. So I found a full recommendation table. Detailed information for each recommendation in this table can be found in the applicable report annex, shown in the last column. So it's a question of working our way through all those and what currently is termed reserved, a reserved name. And it's quite a long list. I have 30 different categories. So I guess we need to start off and work way through those to try and get an understanding of what's happening. Yep. Is it possible to find that and pull it up? Steve.
Bill, this is Steve from staff. I'll have to go dig that list out of a document to be able to put it in the
yes.
list. I'll go work on that right
yes.
now.
Okay. But I'll start. I'll kick off with it. So, the first category is IANA and ICANN. So, basically, all ASCII maintain the existing reservation requirement. I mean, basically, as we go down this list, we have to say to ourselves, well, are these still required? Can we not have these in there? Whatever, in for round two, I guess is the key question. Maintaining existing, so this is the ICANN and IANA ones. Yep, hi.
Hello? Can we kind of split this? We need to split this from, Phil, this is Mike. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi, Mike. Yeah, sure.
Okay, I think you can hear me. Jeff and Alexander and Annabeth and probably a lot of other people are kind to note that we need to make sure that we split this from the top level and the second level. Is there any way to at this point kind of make that clarity or?
It's actually fundamental, isn't it? Yeah, as I said, what I found on this long, huge, long report was a summary at the end, as I say, a full recommendation table. And it doesn't appear to say whether, yes, it does, actually. Absolutely, it does specify the level. So as I work down, it does actually have a column that says what it's, you know, what level's applicable or reserved. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
It is there. It'd be great if we could put it up so everybody can see it, read it themselves.
I think on a higher level issue, what we should be looking at is current policy. I think it would be good to read out policy, what it states, and then a little bit more past that, look at how reserve names kind of came into the mix, and obviously then go through each one as you state, and kind of consider this from a policy perspective about, you know, what. How could a reserve name be defined, and what would the nature of it be?
Obviously, we've got Spec 5, the Schedule of Reserve Names. So maybe it's worth going through
that.
How
did that come into play, I think, is very important to consider in this aspect. Obviously, it wasn't, it wasn't right up there from policy. And Jeff's got his hand up, too. I'm just going to curl back and kind of let him give his opinion.
Yeah, so this is Jeff Newman. So I think Phil's starting on the right path. There were 30 recommendations in the initial, in the final report of the Reserve Names Working Group. And I think that's what Phil's going through. And they were categorized in different
ways.
So we should go through all of those. Some are it's broken out in each recommendation which level it applies to in that chart. The charts found
yeah, that's
link
right.
That I put,
it's
the charts and the link that I put into the chat. If everyone goes to that link and then goes to, it's not quite midway down, but there's a chart.
No, it's three quarters of the way down.
Last thing in section one called the full recommendations table. And what they did is they categorized each recommendation. And so for the first recommendation, for example, it says that to maintain the existing requirements on the what they call the ICANN and IANA related names unless other work is done. So if you go up in the chart, what those were things like for ICANN, it was and this is at the top level, so it says at the top level. It says that all the ASCII ones, so it would reserve things like ICANN, ASO, GNSO, ICANN, InterNIC, CCNSO, and then it goes to other IANA type names, which are like AFRINIC, APNIC, ARIN, example, GTLD servers, etc. So that's what Phil's referring to.
Jeff, can I jump in? Basically, as I said, for ICANN, there's five reserve names that apply to every TLD, and IANA's got 17 for each registry. And obviously that applies
the
second and third level.
Okay, sorry, Phil, you had that on the right track, then. I'm sorry. Not
that's okay, Mike.
Please.
Well, we have to figure out a starting point. And to be honest with you, to me, my knowledge level on this is not great, but it's so we've got to get a head around what we're trying to deal with here. As I say, I guess the key thing is to go down the list and see what we've got in place at the moment, and then clearly start homing in on each one and saying, well, do we need that? Why do we need that? What's the reasons for that? You know, that's the way I'm seeing it going forward. So maybe I should just keep working down this great long list. Is that the best way of seeing it?
Big thumbs up.
Hello?
Please, Phil, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So the second category, and this is single character, that applies at the second level, and that's all 36 alphanumeric ASCII characters, as in A-Biz, B-Arrow, obviously because they're existing TLDs at the time. Then we have two character, again at the second level, and that's 1,296 combinations of ASCII letters and digits, e.g. xy.org, b2.info. As I said, at the time it applied to all 16 TLDs, with some exceptions for certain GTLDs. Okay, whatever that means. Number four on the list is TAG. Second and third, if applicable, all labels with hyphens in the third and fourth character positions, e.g., there's a hyphen in the second and third positions, and that applies to all the 16 GTLDs at the time. Nick who is in www, which is quite logical. At the second level, Nick, who is WW, is reserved for registry operations only. That applies to all 16 GTLDs. Then geographic and geopolitical. Second and third, if applicable, all geographic and geopolitical names on the ISO 3166-1 list, e.g. Portugal, India, Brazil, China, Canada, for instance, and names of territories, distinct geographic locations, or economies, that's an interesting one, I don't know what that means, and other geographic and geopolitical names as ICANN may direct from time to time. Wow. So that applies at the time to asia.cat.jobs.mobi.travel. That was the example they used. Then the third level, see section 1B of the subgroup report in Annex H. Well, I guess they've put down .pro and .name, so I guess next call we have to probably have a look at that, see what that's talking about. Continuing down, other second level, see the section title, other names reserved at the second level in Appendix 1, varying lists for aerobiz.coop.info.museum.nameandpro. Then another one, which I didn't even realize, controversial. No current requirement. Not applicable, none. So I'm not sure what that means. So that carries on the role of reserved names. So that might be more specific. What's going on here? So ICANN, IANA-related, says the role of the reserved names held by IANA and ICANN has been to maintain organizations the exclusive rights to the names of ICANN in brackets, and it's as in ASO, CCNSO, PSO, etc., or essential related functions, internet, of the two organizations. I guess thinking laterally here with the transition for IANA, maybe there's some more names that all need to be reserved now. I don't know. It's a question we need to lob out there and think about. So working down, single character, as before, all 36 alphanumeric ASCII characters. it appears that the original purpose for reserving the single characters was driven by technical concerns. Well, technical concerns, what does that mean? Two-character, 1,296 combination of ASCII letters and digits, two-letter reservations have been based on concerns about confusion with two-letter country codes. Then tagged, all labels with hyphens in the third and fourth character positions. The role of the tag name reservation requirement is to be able to provide a way to easily identify an IDN label in the DNS and to avoid confusion of non-IDN ASCII labels. Implicit in this role is the need to reserve tag names for future use in case the ASCII IDN prefix is changed. I guess I'll keep going. This is one hell of a long list here, and a lot of things to think about, in my opinion. Sorry, I've lost my space here. Where I was at. Single letter.
So should we stop and kind of see if there's any feedback from...
Let's stop because there's no point in listing them all out. What I'm beginning to realize is it's incredibly complicated. There are so many exceptions to the rule, let's say, and maybe we should start discussing, you know, from top down, talking about IANA and ICANN ones.
So is everyone in is everyone kind of on the same page right now? Jeff, you're providing a few references to the African guidebook, showing what was added. Phil is going over the full recommendation table at this point.
I think
it would do well to... Go ahead, Jeff.
So here's the way I think we should tackle it. Rather than reading all these recommendations, because it is complicated if you try to cover that, I think what we do is we take the first three of those recommendations, which relate to ICANN and IANA names, which I think Phil was starting there. Then what we do is we look at the guidebook to see how it was implemented, to see if there are any differentials, which in these three recommendations, I don't think there were, and then discuss whether there's any justification to change those. So, for example...
Yeah.
If you look at the three recommendations or the ones that apply for at least to start with the top level, which is really just the first two recommendations, the first recommendation was to maintain what had already been existed reserve names for the ICANN IANA names. We'll go over what those are. And then also to say that for IDN, that the recommendation was at the top level for all but example reservations are not required. That was used by ICANN staff to produce the chart that's contained in section 2.2.1 in the guidebook, which is page 2-9, goes into 2-10. So that included the following names: AFRINIC, ALAC, APNIC, ARIN, ASO, CCNSO, example, GAC, GNSO, GTLD-servers, IAB, IANA, IANA servers, ICANN, IESG, IETF, INTERNIC, invalid, IRTF, ISTF, LACNIC, local host, NIC, NRO, RFC editor, rights, root servers, RSAC, SSAC, test, TLD, whois, and www. So that's the list. I think Phil makes a good point that we also may need to consider some of the new initials for the new structures that were set up for in the new accountability or post-transition. So as a principal, I think the first question we ask the group is, do we think this list or this recommendation still holds up? And if the answer is yes, then we say, okay, are these the right names or should it be supplemented?
But again, this is at the top level only that we're talking about. I'll give my personal opinion as I don't think anyone's come forward with any rationale as to why we shouldn't keep this policy. And that being the case, we probably should err on the side of keeping it. And my recommendation would be for ICANN staff or others to go back and look at the new, quote, structures that ICANN has set up and see if any of these on the list are no longer relevant, but also to see whether any new ones need to be added.
Yeah. Jeff, can I jump in? That's Phil Buckingham for the record. I was wondering, just looking at this, why have we got InterNIC and NIC? And also, why have we got local and local host? Well, why don't we have host? That's just my initial reaction reading that long list.
Yeah, so this is Jeff again. It's a good question, actually, and it is covered in the 2007 report, I believe. But those are names that are, InterNIC is a legacy name that was used to both of the, or at least at the top level, that's used to generally indicate the Network Information Center and was reserved for a technical purpose to make sure that if the IETF wanted to use that as some space for, I don't know what, that they have the ability to do it. So the same thing with IETF, which is obviously self-explanatory, the IESG, which is kind of one of the steering group, the IRTF, which is someone who's on the IETF could correct me and know what it stands for, but that's also a structure of the IETF as well as the ISTF, as well as RFC editor. So there are, and local was reserved because that is a legacy term that's used in a bunch of database directories. So they did not want to confuse a top level typed in with something that you'd have on your internal drive. There would be a huge amount of conflict. Local is the same reason. So there's rationale for each of those in that 2007 report. And again, I don't think we really need to revisit any of those unless someone thinks that some of those structures are no longer relevant.
Jeff, I'm just going to jump in really quick. So Jeff, you're basically stating that, if I'm understanding 100% correctly, going through one by one, but the full recommendation table is obviously going to take a while, but kind of grouping these a bit together and then comparing them with what's written in the new GTL, in the applicant guidebook at this point, and seeing whether or not they need to be changed or supplemented is what you're saying, correct?
Yes, but I think there have been a number of different categories that were added after the final recommendation. So, for example, the mm-hmm. Olympic and Red Cross names were added after this. There will have to be discussions on this report recommended no reservations for geographic names. Obviously, that's a topic that some may want to discuss because that was not what was implemented. So, yes, I think we go
to the recommendations. So maybe we should do it reverse? Maybe we should look at what's in the applicant guidebook and then see how it compares with policy?
Well, the reason I would start with the policy is because we need to mm-hmm. either keep that policy or change it, and it helps to understand mm-hmm. what the policy was, and then look at the guidebook to see how it was implemented.
Okay.
But
okay, that's fine.
Either way, I mean, we'll get to the same ending.
This is Phil for the record here. Can I jump in?
I'm good, Phil.
Oh. Yeah,
we're
thanks,
just
Mike.
Reaching our. We're just reaching the end of the hour, so.
Yeah. There's like 3 minutes left.
Right.
I'll just jump in here. Another thought was, wasn't there there were TLDs that are on hold, right? One's .mail, right? .corp, I can't think of the third one. But should those now be in that list? Because I assume they'll never get delegated.
Well, so
and what's the issues
that,
around those?
So this is Jeff. That's actually being discussed in fourth work track. Sorry, work track four, and that's really that really relates to name collision. So we may be updating the list depending on the outcome of that in work track four. But that is another category. I would put that in a separate category at this point, just because I think that relates to work track four. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for that, Jeff.
Inclusion reserve. Steve, you've been patiently holding your hand up, so please go ahead as well.
Thanks, Michael. This is Steve Chan from staff, and we have a suggestion on perhaps a resource that might help this discussion. So what we can work on doing is pulling out the different, I guess, categories of names that might have resulted from the list that we're staring at in the AC room. So if you look at the guidebook, section 2.2.1.21 is the reserve names that Jeff mentioned. You also have the strings ineligible for delegation that he also discussed, which is in regards to IOC, Red Cross. So what we'd like to propose is that perhaps we can pull out these different sections of the guidebook that are related to reserve names and then try to draw a line from the recommendations and this report to those applicant guidebook sections such that they exist. Thanks.
I think that would be very constructive.
Yep. Michael, I totally agree. Thanks, Steve, for that.
Go ahead, Phil.
Really appreciate it. Okay.
Perfect. We've kind of reached the end of the hour. Phil, did you want to take us out?
Sure. Well, thank you everybody for attending tonight. There's on this reserve name, there's clearly a huge amount of work to do and lots of things to think about. So basically, you know, anybody's got any thoughts on this and what they would like to discuss on the next call, which I guess is after Hyderabad, is it? Or is our next call before? No, it's after Hyderabad now, isn't it, Michael?
Well, we have the teaser question for reserve names, so we'll probably touch on this a little bit as well. But
Yeah, sure.
I don't think we'll be doing it like this specifically. So definitely, we'll be getting into more specific discussion in how we go through these after Hyderabad.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks everybody for jumping on the call and have a nice evening or whichever part of the world you are, a nice day, and see you in Hyderabad, I guess, and let's keep rolling forward on this complicated subject. Thanks very much.
All right.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks, Phil, and have a good bye. Bye-bye.